Welcome to Over Here. My name is Greg Horn. Man, are you just tired? I feel like you're on that treadmill of life, just going through life at warp speed, and yet you know that Jesus wants to spend time with you and you want to spend time with Jesus, but you just feel like you still got six things left on your to-do list and just don't have time. Well, I've got a great chance today to encourage you about making room for Jesus. With us today for our second day in a row is writer Melissa Willoughby. She lives in Versailles, Kentucky, and she has a great blog called The Climb to My Lighthouse. I want to encourage you to check out The Climb to My Lighthouse. And yesterday we discussed one of her articles called Hope Has the Final Say. She was very transparent, sharing about her battle with depression in the past, but how with Jesus' help and loved ones and family, she was able to overcome that. So if you missed that, I want to encourage you to go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. Check out that 14-minute program. Maybe share it with somebody else that's struggling with depression. But she recently also wrote an article called Make Room for Jesus. And, man, I know that's something that I need to do a better job of in my life. And she shared a story about a woman in the Old Testament, actually, that did a great job of making room for Jesus. Melissa, if you can, share a little bit about this woman, please.
Yeah, well, Greg, the Bible really never gives her a name. The Bible never identifies her name or what she looked like, but it beautifully describes the caliber of woman she was. In 2 Kings 4, it tells us that she lived in a place called Shunem. She highly respected her husband, and she was virtuous like the woman described in Proverbs 31. Oh, what a multitude of lessons this one lady named by the Bible as the Shunammite woman can teach us all. This powerful story speaks of a man of God named Elisha who visited her town often. When he made stops in her town, she always invited him in and fed him. She perceived that Elisha was a true man of God, so she asked her husband for permission to make a room for him to rest in the times he traveled by their way, so that they did. By inviting Elisha in, this woman was honoring the God that was inside him. She was welcoming Jesus, so to speak, to rest in her home on a continual basis. Her honor wasn't for Elisha necessarily, but for the Jesus that he carried. She made room for Jesus despite her busy life, her worries, and her cares. This was because she sensed an unspeakable favor on his life.
I love that story, and there's more to it that's going to get really powerful, so stay with us. But, you know, I think God wants to speak to us just like he did to her, and yet we're so busy. Yet she was obedient because she felt like she was supposed to help Elisha, and she took time out of her busy schedule and asked her husband about permission to help and give him a room to stay in. And sometimes, you know, we think, well, maybe we can't write a big check, or we can't talk in front of 100 people, or we can't sing. And yet sometimes, man, it's just simply opening a room in our house, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. She was very obedient, very selfless, I say, for doing this for this man. I mean, because she sensed Jesus inside of him. She knew he was a true man of God.
Well, and that's the thing I love, too. One of the things is I've grown in my relationship over the years with the Lord, and sometimes, you know, you do things, and people are like, well, why'd you do that? And I say, well, I did it because God asked me to. But I don't know about you, but sometimes I second guess myself because I think, really, God, you want me to do that? And yet when we're obedient like she was, then God shows up, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he shows up in a big way. He does miracles we don't even realize sometimes when we're just obedient. That can be praying, even in prayer, you know, however long that is. I say quality over quantity. I mean, we really just need the Lord, and we need to depend upon him.
I like that, quality over quantity. Psalm 46:10, and we talk a lot about on this program, Melissa, you know, be still and know that I am God.
Yeah.
Yet, man, our culture does so many things to keep us busy, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's getting people to be still is kind of difficult these days. And just listen. I mean, I think sometimes just taking time out just to listen. Lord, what do you want to tell me today? What do you want me to do for somebody else? What do you want me to hear? What do you want me to learn? There's a lot of things that he could tell us and help us on our journey called life, for sure.
Well, I've shared on this on here often, but you know, I think it's kind of interesting. God gave us two ears and one mouth, mm-hmm. and so you know, if you look at it proportionally, maybe we should listen twice as much as we speak. Mm-hmm. Yet I'm an extrovert, you know, I'm a Type A personality, and so sometimes that's hard for me to do. But man, I tell you, when we are still and if we ask God to speak to us, He'll do it. He may do it through His Word. He may do it something He tells us. He can do it through another person. But, man, if we don't listen, it's kind of hard to hear His voice, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And this article actually came off of a sermon my husband preached. He's a minister. So this was breathed out of a sermon that he preached. So, and that's how the article came about. So, yeah, the Lord speaks to us through people, and yeah. It's very important to listen.
Oh, absolutely. And we can get distracted because with our cell phones, smartphones, mm-hmm. or you call them, you know, we try to multitask, and we know men don't do that well anyway. And research is showing, I don't think that women or men do it well, but if anybody does it decent, women are better, research shows, than men. But go on and share in the rest of this article. You talked about making room for Jesus by her being obedient, listening to God, opening her house to Elisha, then, man, something really powerful happened. Share about that and mm-hmm. What you wrote.
Since the woman had shown such honor to Elisha, he then asked his servant Gehazi if there was anything that he could do for her. Gehazi informed Elisha that the woman was barren and her husband was up in years. They called unto the woman, and in verse 16, Elisha says to her, "Next year at this time, you will be holding a son in your arms." The woman became fruitful just as Elisha had spoken. She conceived and bare a precious son, all because she made room for him. And she honored in the honor that she showed him.
Wow. Who would have ever thought just by being obedient, listening to God, opening up room in her house, that the Lord would speak through Elisha? And I'm sure, you know, like a lot of people, man desire to have a child, yet, you know, since they were getting up in years, but it all started with her being obedient and letting Elisha, mm-hmm. you know, stay in their house, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I mean, the Bible tells us, too, that obedience is better than sacrifice. Her obedience, I mean, to me, it shook her world. I mean, it gave her a son that she didn't have and she so desired.
Well, you shared also in your article, Making Room for Jesus, you talked about, you know, just about worries and things mm-hmm. keeping us from prayer. Can you share that, please?
Mm-hmm. Many times worries of life take over, distract, and cause us to fail to keep our prayer life strong, when in reality, these life issues should cause a harder push in prayer on our part. Worry will come, troubles will ensue, and pushing in prayer will feel impossible at times. But being silent and not praying is exactly what the thief wants. Remember, Jesus even says in John 10:10, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." To continually rest in Jesus will cause a peace unexplainable. To believe and trust Jesus won't fail you, no matter your circumstances, is to live in a place called peace.
Well, I just think that's the thing. Sometimes, you know, we think we're too busy to pray. And Bill Hybels, I think, wrote a book called that, Too Busy to Pray. And I read that book. It's been over a decade ago. But, you know, it just kind of was summarizing what you just said there, that, man, it's hard enough life is without God. But, man, that worry will consume you. But if you can just squeeze some time in your schedule for God to speak to you, and the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, I believe it's verse 7, that, you know, we are to bear one another's burdens and cast our burdens on God because He cares for you. And so God really didn't want us to carry all this alone, did He?
No, I mean, the thing is, He desires that from us. He desires that time with us. We're His beloved. The Bible calls us His beloved. He wants that time just as much as we actually need it. And once you get to doing that, I mean, it's hard. You want to do it. I mean, it just becomes a habit.
Well, and that's the thing, I think, getting started, because once it does become a habit, I know that in my own life that, I when I've missed my quiet time, when getting good habits, and I'm a morning person, I prefer the morning, and I think for most people they do, but, you know, whatever works best for you, the point is it's not the specific time, but it's making the time.
Mm-hmm. He's available all the time, so it doesn't matter when.
When do you like to do that? When do you like to spend your time with God? I mean, you're a mom, you're a wife, you know, you got a lot going on. So
yeah, I mean, sometimes it's morning, but sometimes it's in the I'm a night owl, so sometimes it's in the evening, and that's all right too. Just whatever works, however you can fit it in the schedule.
Yeah, good news. Unlike us, he's up 24/7, so you can do that. Well, you also quoted one of my favorite verses of John 10:10 about, you know, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Yeah. But I love that Jesus in the next breath said, I have come so that you may have life and have it more abundantly. But I don't think we realize a lot of times, I mean, there is an enemy that really does not only want to steal, you know, from us.
Yeah.
And not only to kill, but Jesus wants to make sure we get it. He wants to destroy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what suicide does. It does destroy people. And we talked about that in yesterday's program. So if you missed that, I want to encourage you to go to our website, hopeishere.today, and hear yesterday's program with Melissa Willoughby called Hope Has the Final Say. But with prayer, man, it's the way we battle, isn't it? We battle this enemy.
Yeah, I mean, the Bible tells us to put on the full armor of God. In order to do that, we have to take time in prayer. We need to spend time with Him so that we can, when we're in those dark seasons in our lives, so we can battle through those and win.
Well, I love the paragraph that, you know, you talked there about this holy war we're in. Share that with our listeners.
Take a look around you. This world is justifiably consumed with worry. Yet God wants His children to put on the full armor. Put on all of God's armor so that you may be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. Ephesians 6:11. Whether you believe it or not, we are in a war, a holy war. But before you even begin to feel scared, might I remind you that we are victors. The only way you can be overtaken is if you allow the enemy to overtake you. Jesus has already won the war. One of our many tasks is to remind the enemy of that truth. If you don't come to recognize the authority that God has given you as His child, then you will live in fear of everything. The enemy only has power over those who don't realize who they are in Christ Jesus. This realization, or perhaps revelation of who Jesus is and that He dwells in you, is so life-altering.
So much power in those two paragraphs from your article called Making Room for Jesus. It is a war. I mean, if you're listening and ladies, you know, guys, I mean, it is a war, like you described it, a holy war. But, you know, the Bible says we fight against, not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities. And people wonder why people do ungodly things and evil things. Well, it's because we are in a spiritual war, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely. Everything basically is spiritual. That's why it's so important for us to pray. We get in that spiritual realm and we can win those wars.
Well, and I like, you know, you quoted Ephesians 6:11, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the evil. So the good news is, God, that we don't have to face the battle on our own, right?
Right. We don't have to face it on our own.
Well, I hope that you will check out Melissa Willoughby's blog. It's called The Climb to My Lighthouse. She's a very gifted writer, real transparent. They're not super long, so you can, you know, 5 minutes, might be something you want to be a part of your devotion, or maybe on your lunch break at work, or your mid-morning break, afternoon break, or the kids lay down for a nap. Man, this would be well worth your time. Go to her website, The Climb to My Lighthouse by Melissa Willoughby. We talked about Hope Has the Final Say yesterday, and we talked about her article, Make Room for Jesus. So I hope you'll check those two out. Melissa's going to stay with us for one more program, and that one's going to be about an article she wrote called Real Relationships. We all want to grow, I think, in our relationships, both with God and with others. So tune in tomorrow and ask a friend to join us. We'll see you tomorrow on Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.